Hey, we started walking through Ephesians a couple of weeks ago, and we're continuing today with this great series, You've Got Mail. And of course, there was a time in your life where you would go to the mailbox and you would open it up, and from time to time you would have a letter from someone, a handwritten letter, and you would open it, and what would you do with it? You would read it. You would read it. The same thing they did when they received mail. And you'd read it from the beginning to the end. You would not open a letter from your friend and flip to page 2 and start reading, or flip to the last page and start reading. You'd read from the beginning, and you'd read all the way through to the end. And that's the same thing the church in Ephesus would have done. They would have just read right through the letter to the church in Ephesians. And it's what we're doing. We're just spreading it out over a few weeks as we're walking through it each week. And this week we're going to Ephesians chapter number 3. And I see it on the screen, but I don't have it here. I don't know if there's something that I see them laughing in the back like they were pulling a prank on me. And if you're wondering why Pastor wants it here instead of the screen, this is my handy dandy remote control is what this in fact is. So let's let these guys help me out and push that to it really quick. But I'm going to still go ahead and get started. So Wayne, can you put the title of this week up for me if you would? Should be just the next slide, or Daniel, or somebody back there. Thanks so much. A bold prayer for the church. We're gonna look this week at this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter number 3, and we've already had a couple of great weeks in it, and I'm just going to read one verse to begin. It's going to be right in the middle of that chapter. It's Ephesians 3, verse number 14, but after, we're going to look at some of the stuff that happens before and after it to connect. So Ephesians 3, 14, let's look at that together. And I'm going to need you guys in the back to put those up for me, because I don't have that iPad. Thanks so much. It says this: when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Come on, we're going to pray right now, and then we're going to consider what Paul was saying there. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks for your word. Thanks for the opportunity to consider it once again. I pray, Lord God, that your word would be preached effectively today through me as your servant. I pray that we would be built up as your church, that we would grow in you. I pray that as a result of our spending time in your house and our lives, there'll be less of us and more of you, Lord God. We will be strong in you and in the power of your might. Have your way in our lives. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, here I am. Build me up. Make me strong in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. When I read that verse there in Ephesians, thanks so much, Jose. When I read that verse there in Ephesians, chapter 3, verse number 14, I think a couple of things. Paul says there, when I think about this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. I want to know a couple of things. I want to know, what was Paul thinking about? And I want to know, what did Paul pray? What brought him to the prayer, and what was it? But just before we get to that, first, I want to consider another question that would come to my mind, and that's, where did Paul pray it? Because I think that's kind of fitting as well. When Paul was on his third missionary journey, and he traveled on a number of them, he was traveling to Jerusalem, and the local religious leaders in Jerusalem, they were not too pleased with this. They didn't like Paul. Although Paul was Jewish and had been a Pharisee, and they were Jewish, Paul was preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul was preaching that Jesus was the only way to heaven. They didn't believe in Jesus. They believed that this Jewish rabbi had gone a little crazy and weren't following him, but Paul was preaching he was the only way. And when he got there to Jerusalem, they plotted to arrest him, and they planned to kill him, in fact, for that as well. They were going to kill him for what he had been preaching. But after they captured him, Paul was able to be turned over to Rome, because Paul was a Roman citizen. And since he was a Roman citizen, there were certain rights that came with that, just as your citizenship to whatever country you're from would be as well. And so because of that, he gets turned over to the Roman courts. And to make the story quick, he ended up being transported to Rome, where he was going to stand trial. When he got to Rome, Paul was sentenced to house arrest for 2 years. Now, there are other times in Paul's life where he was in actual prisons. But in this occasion, he's in like a rented house. But he can't leave. It's a temporary thing. It's house arrest. He can't leave, but people can come at times and see him. And while he's in this situation, he actually refers in his writings to his chain that he has as well. Now, if you were under house arrest today, because people can still be under house arrest today they would put a tracking device like on your ankle that tells them if you leave the house. You know what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about? Anybody? Yeah, see, all those people were under house arrest. They know what I'm talking about, yeah. So today they put a tracking device on you, and if you walk out of your house, then an alarm will go off, and then they know you left your house. Well, they can't do that in the first century. So Paul's got something around there, and he's probably just got a single chain that's just hooked to something in the house, but he can walk around the house. He can go in the kitchen and make coffee if he wants. Who already knew it was National Coffee Day? Did you know that? A couple of you did. If you go to Krispy Kreme today, you get a free cup of coffee and a free donut, and that's true. You have to tell them my name, but outside of that, no, you don't. It really is true, though. Yeah, so we're going there, Sarai. I know you don't drink coffee, but we're going there. So he can go in there and do that. He can have somebody come and visit him. He can go and lay down on his mat to sleep, but he can't leave the house. He's still locked in there. And it's still not a good situation. And in fact, in his writing, he refers to his loneliness during that time. He refers to how he wishes to have visitors during that time, because he's still locked in a little house for a couple of years. And locked alone in a house for 2 years where you can't leave and you can't go anywhere. And he's not where he's from. He's in Rome, so almost no one comes to see him. He has a lot of time on his hands. He has a lot of time on his hands. He has a lot of time to think about things, and he has a lot of time to write. And some of the New Testament that we carry today is what he wrote during that time. It's during that time where he can't leave, where he sat down and said, "Let me write a letter to the church in Colossae." And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, we know, and he wrote what we call Colossians. It was during that time where he says, "Let me write a letter to the church in Philippi." And he wrote what we call Philippians today. And he mailed that letter off to them. It's when he wrote to Philemon. And it was during this time, while Paul is under this house arrest, where he's experiencing all of this, that he also sat down and said, "Let me write a letter to the church in Ephesus," what we call Ephesians. And part of what he wrote to them is what we're reading today in chapter number 3. He wrote to them about, before that verse where I read, he wrote to them about how God had called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to non-Jews. Paul was Jewish, but he had gone to Gentile people to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He told them of how God had united Jews and Gentiles together in one faith. We looked at that last Sunday some, how God had broken the walls down that separated us, that in Christ there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. In Christ there's no longer male nor female. In Christ there's no longer slave nor free, he wrote. In Christ we're all adopted into the same family as brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. Smack the brother in front of you and tell him, "Hey, come on, yeah, whatever it is." Yeah, so he wrote about this. But what Paul says in chapter number 3, he says, you know, when I think about that, he says, I'm thinking about what God has done. I'm thinking about how even though I was Jewish and you guys in Ephesus are not Jewish, because it was primarily all a Gentile church. They were Greeks. They were out there in a different area. He says, when I think about how God has brought us all into one family, when I think about how God has saved you and what he's done, he says, when I think about that, chapter 3, verse 14, he said, I fall down on my knees and I pray for you. And what we want to look at today is what that prayer was in that context of Paul being there saying, man, I just love what God has done, but I'm going to pray now for the church. And one of the things that Paul prayed there, in fact, it was the first thing he prayed, was Paul prayed for believers in Jesus to be made strong within. He prayed for inner strength for the children of God. Look at this in Ephesians 3:16. He says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, think about that, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. What a great prayer. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I need to be empowered with inner strength by the Holy Spirit. We all need that. On our own, we're not strong enough to live this life. The pressures, the temptations, the challenges of living as believers in Jesus in this world would be too much on our own. We need the power of God at work in our lives. We need supernatural power with him. We have an enemy. We have an adversary. We have a foe. We know that. And he's been around a lot longer than you and I. There's a few of you in here, you've been around a while. Some of you have been around a long time, but I'm not going to point you out. But you haven't been around as long as your enemy. We have an enemy who's been around a long time, much longer than any of us. And the Bible says he's a deceiver. He's a schemer. And the Bible doesn't tell you that you're more powerful than him. In fact, what the Bible says is this. It says, greater is he who is in you. Come on, somebody say in me. He says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, is what it says. You're not greater. I'm not greater. Jesus is greater. The power of the Spirit is greater. To live as an overcomer, then we have to be like how John the Baptist said, where he says, got to be less of me and got to be more of him, more of him. We need to be strengthened within. Now, when I was about 18 years old, I got on a weightlifting kick. Now, I was always the skinny kid. I was always the skinny kid. The only thing I could do was run fast. I was never the strong kid. I was always the skinny kid. If you want to know what I looked like, I would be like a pole like this or something when I was growing up. So you can find pictures of me. I was always the skinny kid. But when I was 18 years old, I started lifting weights. And I started lifting weights, man. And I was committed. I was committed to lifting weights. And I came in there on day one, and I did, you know, bench press and curls and whatever else. I started lifting weights, and day two I came back, I did the same thing. And day three I came back and I did the same thing. And day four I came back and I kept lifting weights. And after about a week, I started getting pretty excited about lifting weights, and I started measuring myself. I got out a tape measure like you would use for cutting cloth, and I started measuring my chest and my arms to see how big I was getting and how strong I was getting, and I was bulking up and I was feeling good about myself. And then 2 weeks went by and 3 weeks, and about a month went by, and I'm standing there looking at myself in the mirror with no shirt on. I'm like, oh man, look at you. Look at you, man. You all strong and getting bulked up. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, what happened, Pastor? Well, anyway, I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I'm looking good. But nobody knew. Nobody could see it, man, my shirts and all. So I went to the store, and I bought this T-shirt that didn't have any sleeves in it. And I bought this T-shirt with no sleeves. And if I was like maybe like a medium, I bought a size small. And it was really thin. It was really thin. Because I wanted everybody to see how strong I got. You know what I'm saying? So I put on my skin-tight, sleeveless T-shirt. And my friend was having a barbecue at his house on Saturday. And I was like, wait till they see me now. And I drove over to his house and parked my car. And I got out. And, of course, I lifted that morning to make sure my muscles were, you know, tight and looking good in the whole bed. And I got out, and I'm walking up to the house. I mean, I was feeling really good. And my friend, he came out. When I was walking up the sidewalk, he came walking out the house, out on the front porch, and came down the steps. And when he saw me, he pointed straight at me, and he burst into laughter. He burst into laughter, leaned over and hit his leg. He goes, "You're so skinny. You're so skinny." I was like, oh, I never wore that shirt again. I never wore that shirt again. I never wore that shirt again. Why are you dressed like that? You're so skinny. You look ridiculous. Why did you come in that? And I was like, oh, man, I thought I was so strong. I thought I looked... You know what? If you're not careful, and I think it can happen to us, that sometimes we think we're stronger than we really are. We think we're stronger than we really are. And we can trust in ourselves and in our own strength too much. But what Paul knew, Paul says, I've lived this life for a while. And now that you're living it also, and God has brought you into this faith as well, he said, when I think about how God has brought you into live this life also, he said, I fall on my knees and I pray for you. And Paul knew what it was going to take. So he says, one of the things I pray for you is for God to strengthen you within, that you will be strong in your inner being, strong in your inner man, strong in your inner woman is who you will be, because we need the strength of the Lord. Sometimes I've heard people declare things like, they say, I can do all things. I can do all things. I say, man, the Bible does not say you can do all things. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, is what it says. Paul says, I've been thinking about that and what he has done, and I've lived this life long enough to know that you are going to need strength within to really live this life. Friend, if you can sign up to receive from the unlimited resources of God's supernatural strength. Because that's what Paul said. He said he has unlimited resources. If you can sign up for God to empower you through his unlimited resources in your life, well, then I want to be on that list. I hope you want to be on that list. And I want to pray over you today, and I want you to pray it for me as well, that the same prayer that Paul prayed for the church, that we would be made strong within, strong within. And then Paul said that's not the only thing that he prayed for, but he also prayed this. He prayed for an active presence of God in the lives of the church. I pray for an active, look at this, it's in Ephesians 3:17. He says this. He says, then Christ, this is when you've come to this faith, I'm praying for God to make you strong. He says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, praise God. Most of us have stayed in hotels. I've stayed in some beautiful hotels. I've stayed in some lousy hotels. One time to surprise my wife for our wedding anniversary, I booked a hotel in Manhattan. Man, their website designer should get paid a bonus because he was good, because that hotel was horrible. But I booked it online, and we went there, and it was so bad we didn't even stay there. We walked in the room, and we looked around, and we were like, we're out of here. And I'm not making that up. We're like, I can't even stay here. It was that bad. And we went downstairs like, I can't do this. So had to go somewhere else. But I've also stayed in some beautiful places, and you may have as well, where you come in and you're like, man, this is nice, but you know what? It's still not home. You're still living out of luggage. Your stuff's still in a suitcase. You can't wake up in the middle of the night and go wandering down to the kitchen and get something out of the refrigerator, do whatever you want in the place, because you're not at your house. You're not at home, and that would be the case. My wife and I also, we have visited some incredible historic homes in our lives. We went to the Vanderbilt Mansion one time. It's amazing, and you walk around in it, and it's paintings and tapestries and, oh man, the rugs, everything. Just you go through it and you see it. I'm like, this place is unbelievable. It's like a museum. And then it's like they try to trick you. It's like they try to trick you. You come in and you walk in the dining room and there's food on the table, as if somebody lives there or something. And you walk in and then you go into the office room and on the desk there's like a paper with a pen beside it. Like somebody was in there writing and heard me coming and went running out the room or something. Like, don't anybody know I'm here. And they set it all up to make it look. But even when they try to do that, you can still tell when you walk through, nobody lives here. Nobody lives in this place. This is nice. This is pretty, but this is not anybody's home. This is not what this is all together. Home is different. Home is comfortable. You have clothes you wear at home that you would never let anybody else see you in. Come on. Right? You know I'm telling the truth. I will go home this afternoon. I will have like green socks on and my red Christmas elf pajamas on in the middle of the summer with my Seahawk jersey on and my old green VBS hat. I don't care. I'm at home. Nobody else can see. My wife will see me. I'll walk in and she'll make comments. She's like, oh, that's a good look. But anyway, yeah. But I'm at home. I'm at home, so it doesn't matter. I'm comfortable when I'm at home. You're comfortable when you're at home. My son Zachary, he started dating this girl, Erica. And it was when he was in college, and we had only met her like once or something. And then he called me. He's like, Dad, I want to bring her home. She was at college with him. Dad, I want to bring her there so she can meet us in the whole bit. And they drive from Pennsylvania to New York, where we lived at the time. And Erica comes in, and we get to meet her. And she took over Zachary's bedroom, and Zachary got kicked out to the basement because we don't play that at our house. So we separated them, obviously, and put the dog and electric fence between them. But anyway, so she's in the bedroom, and he's downstairs. But they were there. And she spent the night, and then the next day when she got up, they got ready and they went out somewhere, and when they went out somewhere, I went in my son's bedroom to go through her stuff. I mean, to check on everything and make sure it's okay. I didn't go through her stuff. Yeah, so I went in the bedroom. When I opened the door and I go in, it was a disaster. It was a mess. The bed is unmade and the junk all over the place. And I mean, even like her underclothing are laying on the floor. I'm like, what in the world is this? And I knew something. I knew something when I saw it. That girl's going to marry my son. I knew it because I knew she's at home. She thinks she's at home. Even in my house, she's that comfortable in this place. I knew it. And then she was chilly. She was chilly. So you know, I'm a big Seattle Seahawks fan. So there she is. That was in my son's bedroom. I let her borrow my Seattle Seahawks sweatshirt. She still has it. That's like 5 years ago. She still has it. When she left, she took it with her. I never got it back. There it is. All I have now is a picture. That was my favorite shirt I ever had in my whole life. And she still has it. To this day, she was at home. Put your hand on your heart. Come on, church, put your hand on your heart. Paul's prayer was not that we would just get a little bit of Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't want to be Sunday Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to be weekend Jesus. He says, I'm praying that Christ will make his home in your heart. He will be comfortable in that place. It's you and Jesus. You guys are going to be tight, if you will. All right? Are you with me? Home in your heart as you trust in him. God doesn't want to tag along with you. God is not just your buddy or whatever. He lives in you. He lives in you. And we're going to pray that over our lives today as well, for the abiding presence of God in his life. I want to pray it over you. I want you to pray it for me. Paul kept praying, and he also prayed this one. I jumped ahead on it. He said this. He says, I pray that you will have a grasp of God's love. You will have a grasp of God's love. It's in Ephesians also. Let me show it to you. He said this, I'm praying that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Where are God's people at? Come on, where are you? As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Wow. Why do I need to have such a grasp of the love of God? Why is it so important? Because storms are coming. Because trials are coming. Because life is difficult at times, and things aren't always going to go your way along the way. And what Paul said is, I'm praying that your roots will grow down deep into the love of God, because that will keep you strong. I've walked with God long enough, as some of you have as well, where I've seen people come in and say, hallelujah, I love Jesus, but let a storm come their way and they hit the road because they can't withstand the storm, because they don't let their roots grow deep. Things go bad and they think, if God loved me, this wouldn't have happened in my life. But when you think that, it's because you don't have a good grasp of the love of God. You don't understand the love of God when you think that way. And that's why Paul prays that. We're here on the East Coast, here in Maryland. I grew up in Virginia. When you live on the East Coast, you can get some nasty thunderstorms in the summer. You know, you've seen them. In fact, you can have a nice fall day like this week where it's going to be in the 90s. I'm like, when in the world is fall coming? But anyway, but you catch those days where it's 90-some degrees and it's hot and it's humid, and you go out in the afternoon and you look off in the distance and you see those dark gray clouds rolling in, and what's coming? You already know. You don't have to be a meteorologist. Nobody has to tell you what's about to happen. You know it's going to pour. It's going to get crazy. The wind is going to blow. The rain is going to fall hard. It's going to get nasty out here, and you know you've got to get inside, and it happens. And when those storms roll in, they bring down whole trees sometimes. We've all seen that as well. And there are particular trees that hold up well in a storm, though, because they have deep root systems. And even when the wind is strong, they still stay there. And other trees don't hold up well in a storm. They just get toppled right over. But once in a while, this will happen. Once in a while, a tree like an oak tree or something that normally is really strong and has deep roots, once in a while, it will get blown over. And when it's blown over and you can see the roots, it just has this little root base, and those aren't good. And you know that tree wasn't healthy. That wasn't a healthy tree. It wasn't strong. It couldn't withstand the storm. Paul says, I'm praying that your roots grow deep into the love of Christ, so that you will be made strong, so you can handle what comes your way when things come your way. And that is so important, because stuff has and stuff will continue to come your way. And if your roots aren't deep, when the trial comes your way, you'll start thinking, why did this happen to me? You'll start thinking, if God loves me, then why did I go through this? If God really loved me, why would this happen in my life? But again, that's a shallow understanding of the love of Christ. Listen, the love of God is not made evident by whether you had enough money to pay your phone bill or not. That didn't have a thing in the world to do with whether God loves you or not. The love of God is not made evident by whether you got the job you wanted or not. That doesn't have anything to do with the love of God. The love of God is not made evident by whether your girlfriend broke up with you or not, or by whether your husband came home in a bad mood or not when you prayed that he would come home in a good mood. And then you say, well, if God loved me, then that would have... That is not the measure of the love of God. Just because things haven't gone your way doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Romans 8:28 is a wonderful verse, and most of us love it. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, those who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to catch also what it doesn't say. It doesn't say everything's going to go your way. It doesn't say everything's going to work out the way you think it should work out. It says all things work together. Things don't always work out for the children of God, but they do always work together. They do always work together. God brings it together in a beautiful symphony and orchestrates it in our lives to bring things together for our good is what he does along the way. Here's how we know what love is. It's 1 John 3:16. Listen to this. It says, this is how we know what love is. This is it. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You have to grow deep roots into that truth. Because then the devil, who is a liar, you go through a trial, things go bad, things aren't going your way, and you're thinking, it wouldn't be like this if God loved me. And the devil comes to tell you, man, if God loves you, this wouldn't happen to you. And you can say, get behind me, Satan, you're a liar. Jesus laid his life down for me. God loves me. That is the measure of God's love. Not that whatever else happened along the way. Jesus died for me. God loves me. God loves me. Amen? Come on, Paul. Paul prayed that along the way. He prayed that we would grasp that, and we're going to pray it over our lives today as well. And then he prayed this final thing as well. He says he prayed that they would be filled with God's fullness. Filled with God's fullness. Ephesians 3:19. He says this, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Praise God. That's the result of the other ones. The result of the other ones in our lives is that we're then filled with this fullness of God. He says, then you will be. When you're strong within, when you have the abiding presence of Christ in your life, when you grasp the love of God, he says, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Come on, don't you want to be filled with life and power that comes from God? Sure we do. We want to be filled with the life and the power that comes from God. That's not emotionalism at church. That's about having the power of God to live for him on your school campus. That's about having the power of God to live for him when it's 90 degrees outside and you're stuck in traffic. That's about having the power of God to live for him when your boss is wasting your time and then fusses at you because you didn't get your work done. In the 8:30 service, I told Melissa she better not say amen. So That's about having the power of God when your kids are driving you crazy, or when your parents won't stop breathing down your neck and driving you nuts, and you have the power of God in your life to live for him on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Saturday. Anybody can live for God on Sunday morning at church. Come on. Hello, right? It's about the power of God at work in our lives to truly live for him. And if we were ever to think to ourselves, man, could God really do that in my life? I know Jesus died for me, but Pastor, that sounds like a lot of big stuff. I love how Paul caps all this off in Ephesians 3:20. He says this, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, praise God. Wow, what a cap on the story there altogether. Can God strengthen you within? Look right there. God can do more than you can ask or think. Can God bring the abiding presence of Christ and make his home in your heart? God could do more than you could ever ask or think. Can God fill you with his fullness and where you would grasp his love? God can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. He is a mighty God. Amen? Paul said, let me pull this together here. He says, you know, he's locked up. I'm chained up. I got a lot of downtime. And while he's sitting there alone, he's thinking about it. Wow, this is really amazing how all the Gentiles who used to not be part of the faith, and now they've become believers in Jesus as well. And Paul was thinking, that's amazing. And then he's thinking, wow, you know what? They're going to need some help. They're going to need some help. They're going to need strength to be able to live this life. And when he thought about him, he says, when I thought about you, I fell down on my knees and I prayed this prayer. I prayed this prayer. Hey, come on. We need that prayer prayed over us in our lives. We need that inner strength. Amen? We need it. We need to grasp His love, praise God. We need the abiding presence of Christ in our lives, and I want to pray it over you today. Would you stand with me? Come on. Stand with me in God's house this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Paul knew he'd lived for Jesus for a while at that point. He says, man, I've walked with Jesus for a while. And he knew, I can't do it on my own. And he knew, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. He says, I do it because God has strengthened me within. I do it because I've grasped His love. I do it because of all that God has done in my life. And he says, so I'm going to pray that for you. And I'm going to pray it for you now as well. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray it for you now as well. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We need you. We need more of you. We need more of you. Just right now on your own, before I begin to leave, would you just invite a little more of Jesus into your life? Say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need your presence. I need your strength. I need your fullness. Help me to grasp your love, Lord God. Help me to grow deep roots into your love, Lord God, that I can withstand all that life brings my way, all the trials of life, hallelujah. Oh, bring that to us now, we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. God, we're thinking about what Paul thought about right now. We're thinking about that you saved our souls. We're thinking about that you forgave us of our sins and you adopted us into your family and you call us your own. We're thinking about that you're our Father. We're thinking that we're a part of the body of Christ. We're thinking about it. And thinking about that, Lord God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. But we also know, God, we need some help from you. To live this life in this world, we need some help from you, Lord God. So God, right now I pray. I pray for every brother and sister of mine in this room and agree together all across this room. Agree together all across this room. God, would you strengthen us within? Strengthen us within. Reach out and put a hand on somebody's shoulder and say, strengthen them within, Lord God. Make them strong in their inner being. Come on, pray that over somebody else as well. God, make us strong within, Lord God. Make us strong in our inner beings in you, hallelujah. We need you, Lord God. We need you. And then, God, we pray this as well today. Jesus, make your home in our hearts. We know you don't want to be a Sunday Jesus. You want to be an at-home Jesus, hallelujah. So I pray, God, for the abiding presence of Christ in our lives. On Tuesday morning, on Thursday night, on Friday afternoon, Lord God, at the workplace, in the classroom, the abiding presence of Christ in our lives, Lord God. We ask for it right now in the name of Jesus. And God, Paul prayed this as well, so we pray it. A grasp of the depth of your love. May we grow deep roots as believers in you, Lord God, who grasp how much you love us. And when the trials come, and I know there's some brothers and sisters of mine in this room who are in the fire right now. They're in the trial right now. May the roots hold, I ask, in Jesus' name. May they grow deep into your love, Lord God, and they know, oh no, my God loves me. He gave his life for me, Lord God. May we grasp how high and long and wide and deep the love of Christ truly is. And your word said, then, when we do, we would be filled with your fullness. Fill us with more of you. Less of us and more of you. I pray that you would strengthen us to live this life. I pray that we would be mighty in you, Lord God. I pray that as individuals who go out in the armor of God, we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, as your word declares, Lord God, and we will live victoriously for you as overcomers. I know that was your plan for our lives all along, and I pray it over us as we pray it over one another right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, more of him. Amen. Give God praise for what he's doing in your life. Abide in him. grow strong in Him, and live victoriously in Him this week. That's what God has for you. Amen? God bless you. God bless you. Encourage one another in that as you slip out of here. But you don't have to leave too quick. You can hang out as long as you want to. But let's encourage one another to be strong in Him. God bless you. Amen.